Hello and welcome to Unity Presbyterian Church Online. This week is Easter Sunday, so Pastor David takes a look at Jesus' explanation of the resurrection. Let's listen.
Well, in case I don't know you, you should know that I've got a wife, Sarah, and I've got three daughters, and one of them is 2 years old. And each week when she goes to Sunday school, my wife, Sarah, likes to ask her, okay, how did it go, and learn a little bit about it. So it was just last week that my wife came up to my daughter, Gemma, and said, oh, how was Sunday school? She said, good. I said, okay, great. What was your story about? Well, it was about Jesus. Okay, oh, great. It's about Jesus. What did Jesus do in your story? And she said, nothing. Jesus did nothing. It was at this point that my nine-year-old, and you know, the nine-year-old knows everything. When you're that old, you know everything. And she pipes in from the other room and she yells, Gemma, Jesus didn't do nothing. Jesus rose from the dead. Come on. He did something. So that's our theme today for Easter morning. Jesus, he did something. And this should surprise absolutely no one. No one who's here today, no one who's watching online. We know that Jesus did something. We know that Jesus rose from the dead. The tomb is empty. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. That is what Easter morning is all about. But I want to dig a little bit deeper into that something today. What does it mean for our lives that Jesus rose from the dead? Why is it that we gather together every year as the community of faith and we celebrate Jesus' resurrection? Well, I'd like to do something a little bit different this morning. I'd like to study a story that occurred before Jesus died. You see, Jesus had a conversation with one of his good friends, Martha. And in that conversation, he explained the significance of his coming resurrection. Now, she doesn't completely understand it at the time. I mean, after all, Jesus is still alive. But through this conversation, I think we can all come to a more profound understanding of what Jesus' resurrection means for us today. So here's the context of this story. There's a family of three, and they're all very close friends with Jesus. There's two sisters, Mary and Martha, and there's one brother whose name is Lazarus. And Lazarus has fallen deathly ill. So the first thing that these sisters do is they send word to Jesus. They know that Jesus could heal him. They've seen Jesus heal before. And so when their brother falls ill, they send word to Jesus to say, please come. But when Jesus comes, Lazarus has already passed away. And that's where we're going to pick up our story, in John chapter 11, verse 17. We're told that on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. So in essence, what we're reading about here is they're having almost a funeral service for Lazarus, where people are gathering from a distance. Friends and family are walking in from Jerusalem, and they're all gathering at their house. And I imagine that if you were there, if you were a part of that community, what you'd see is them sharing stories, sharing times of remembrance about Lazarus's life and who he was, much like we do today. When we gather for a funeral service, that's what we do. We share stories. We remember the person who has passed. And so as this is happening, someone spots Jesus. Someone sees Jesus and his disciples coming at a distance, and they tell Martha. Now, Martha does not wait for Jesus to come. Martha doesn't wait until Jesus makes his trek all the way to her house. As soon as she hears that Jesus is coming, she leaves. She goes to meet him. And the first words out of her mouth are devastating. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." This is one of those times that I wish we had a video of this scene so that we could really understand the tone and the nuance with which she says these words. But with only the written word, we are left to ourselves to interpret the meaning behind this statement. And so go ahead and put on your interpretive lenses. What do you think is going through Martha's mind as she says these things? Do you think you sense an undertone of anger in them? Or perhaps a disappointment or frustration that Jesus was not there? If you had been here. Remember, Martha had seen Jesus heal before. She knew what he was capable of. She knew the powers that he possessed. And she knew that if he was physically there, that her brother would still be alive. And you know what? We probably feel like this sometimes. When something goes wrong in our lives and we might question God, we might ask God, in your infinite power, why didn't you do this? Or why didn't you do that? Why didn't you heal this person? Why didn't you intercede in the way that I was hoping you would intercede? Surely we can understand if Martha is upset with Jesus. But perhaps we're reading this wrong. Perhaps her tone is not frustration, but actually confidence in God. Perhaps Martha is simply stating in full faith what she knows to be a fact, that if Jesus was there, then her brother would not have died. But since Jesus was not there, then God must have had other plans for that situation. We get a hint that maybe that's where she was by the next statement she makes. She says, "But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Do you feel the confidence in Martha's voice here? I mean, her confidence shines through in the acknowledgement that all things are possible through Christ. Okay, so what do you think? How is Martha feeling in this conversation after her brother has died? Well, most likely, Martha is a mixture of all these emotions, like any one of us would be if we go through a time of mourning. Martha is probably sad and upset and probably confident and full of faith, all mixed together, all at the same time. So my question is, how will Jesus respond to this? Remember, Martha rushed out of her house, went to meet Jesus, and then said these things. Jesus has not had a chance to say anything yet. These are the first words that come from his mouth. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Okay. Here we get a hint of the resurrection, a hint of the topic that we're talking about today. But here's what Martha thinks that means. Martha thinks Jesus is referring to a popular Jewish belief during this time period that at the end of time, God would raise all faithful people back all at once at the end of time. And so it's in that understanding that Martha refers to when she says this. Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." You see what she's referring to there? Yes, she, in her mind, she thinks, okay, Lazarus was faithful. And so, of course, God, at the end of time, whenever that's going to be, God will raise Lazarus again from the dead sometime in the mysterious future. But here's where Jesus decides to change everything. Remember how I said we were going to study what Jesus taught about his eventual resurrection? Well, here's where that comes into play. Because what Jesus says next irrevocably changes everything in the future. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." That is the Easter message in two sentences right there. That the resurrection, it is not something that's just going to happen someday in the way distant future. But the resurrection is a reality right now in the presence and the power of Jesus. Yes, we understand that as we continue to read this story, Jesus is going to soon die by hanging on the cross. But death will not be the end for him. Now, this is different from everybody who has ever lived before Jesus. I mean, for all of those people, you get your one life to live. But when that life ends, that's it. There's nothing else for you. But Jesus is God in the flesh. And in Jesus, God chose to come to earth and to live the human experience, and that includes death itself, just like all humans did before and after Jesus. But the glaring difference is that for Jesus, death is not final. No, after 3 days, the grave will not be able to hold Jesus any longer. The grip of death that once seemed so permanent is now permanently loosened. Jesus rose from the dead. Or as my daughter would say, he did something. You see, when I lived in Tampa, we lived near Busch Gardens, and my brothers would sometimes visit. I'm the middle child, and so when they came, we always needed to come up with something fun for them to do. So once we took them to Busch Gardens, and there was a really fun ride. It was like a log flume, where you'd go way up a hill, you'd kind of turn around, and then you'd plunge. You'd actually plunge down into the water and spray water everywhere. Now, there was a bridge that overlooked the log flume. And so it was like you could see it coming right at you. And anyone standing on that bridge at that moment of impact would be absolutely soaked. So, of course, we had to do this. And someone took a picture of that exact moment when the log flume hit and then the water exploded. Let's go ahead and show that picture a sec. This is the moment of impact. I mean, so what you see here is I'm in the middle, my younger brother's on the far side, my wife Sarah's the one who's just cringing as she's getting completely soaked. But I want you to imagine how things were in this picture 1 second before and how everything changed in one moment, in the blink of an eye. Because 1 second before, we were completely dry, right? I was actually pretty hot. It's the hot Florida sun. I'm kind of sticky and sweaty. And then the next second, we are drenched. I mean, sopping wet. 1 second before, we're completely at ease. And then a second later, look at us. We're grabbing that bar. We're completely tensing our bodies as all the water's coming towards us. A second before, there was just oxygen around us in the air. But in the moment of impact, the air was filled with water everywhere that you could see. Yes, everything changed in one particular moment. And it's this sort of picture that I think is a great image of what Jesus is trying to help us understand in his words. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." This is the moment of impact. If what he says is true, it will change everything from that point forward. If Jesus holds resurrection power within himself, then all future events will be changed from that one moment in time. Yes, in many ways, Jesus' resurrection is the turning point in human history. No longer will death be final, but now in Jesus, all may live. The Apostle Paul was reflecting on this. He wrote so much of the New Testament, and he was looking at Jesus' resurrection, thinking, okay, what changed after it? And here's what he came up with. He says, once Jesus was resurrected, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? So what is the sting of death? Well, The sting of death is that it used to be permanent. Death was victorious over all. There was no fountain of youth. There was no secret elixir that you could get that would stave off the effects of death. Death was the great equalizer of humanity. But in Jesus, all of this has changed. Eternal life is possible because of Christ. Now, for Martha, this must have been so much to wrap her mind around. I think if I was Martha, I would want just a couple minutes to really sit, to process all of that. But she doesn't get this time. No, Jesus just said, I am the resurrection and the life. And those who believe in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. He says that and then follows it up with a question. Do you believe this? Now remember, Jesus has not even died yet. Martha is being asked to believe something about the future. She's asked to believe that through Jesus' death and resurrection, all people have the possibility of eternal life with God. So does she believe this? Do we believe this? In our heart of hearts, this is the question that confronts each and every one of us every single Easter morning. The question of what happens if we fully believe this, if we fully embrace that what Jesus just said is true. Because believing this can become that moment in time where everything is different in your life afterwards. Believing this can become that moment of impact where you say, I've got the before time and then I've got the after time in my life. From this point on, you could be changed. So what does it mean to fully believe and embrace that? Well, as I thought about that this last week, I thought one way it changes things, if you embrace that, you then can live this life by faith and not by sight. You live not only according to what you can see with your eyes or experience on a day-to-day level, but you live being guided by faith in Christ. One way that changes by believing this is that you truly understand I'm being guided by God. I don't have to try to navigate this life all on my own. I don't have to try to figure things out just by myself. I am being guided by God. By believing in this, we no longer have to have a fear of death. We don't have to see death as some permanent reality at the end of our days. But instead, death just becomes another step on that journey, the journey of faith that we are all following together. And so he asks, do you believe this? You see, the events of Easter change the entire world for the better. And it can change our world for the better as well. Every one of us has the option to believe this incredible resurrection and the conquering of death that we celebrate every single Easter. So Jesus asks, do you believe this? And here is Martha's response. Martha says, yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Yes, Martha believes that Jesus was the resurrection and the life, and this belief changed the remainder of her life. Now, the same question on this day of celebration is poised to us as well. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Amen.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.